There wasn't even a breathing hole drilled in the walls or a single crack to let air through, and that was bad.
Start clearing it away. We've got to get some air in there before he dies.
Yes, sir.
The slave placed the lantern into a niche, positioned to shine on the avalanche.
Will you be getting more guards?
What in hell for?
He has a blaster, sir. A big one. But it didn't go off like a regular one. It stuttered, like an old man.
Machine gun.
The guard clutched his bolt-action rifle. He wanted the reward from the heirs of no duty for a year to the guard who found Ryan alive, but he had no intention of dying in hopes of a year of relaxing. With a stabbing motion, he pointed at the cluster of slaves.
You, and you, start digging. You and you, get more timber and shore up the roof. We don't want another collapse. You, go get the duty sergeant and summon more guards. I'll stay here.
The slaves moved with unusual haste, but the Sekhman never noticed, already dreaming about a full year of sleeping late and bedding any female slave he wanted. Ryan, alive. It was a miracle. 500 yards away, a crowd of slaves was shouting and jumping about in wild excitement.
Over here! Here!
A nearby group of slaves rolled hogshead barrels and dragged wooden boxes over to block the sagging door of a splintery barn.
We got him trapped inside!
Sitting on a plow, sipping a cup of field coffee to stave off the nighttime cold, Sergeant Kissel gagged and spat out the brownish fluid.
Ryan? You have Ryan?
Found him in the silo. I want the reward.
I found him. I want the reward.
Me!
No, me!
Standing, the sergeant cuffed them both to the ground.
I'll decide who found him after we got the bastard in chains. Understand?
They whimpered acknowledgement as a shot rang out from the barn.
Shitfire! He's armed, and that's a .45.
A large caliber slug like that would go straight through his flak jacket at close range.
Sentry, you there!
In the distance, a guard pointed a questioning finger toward himself.
Yes, you damn fool! Bring troops and alert the Citadel! We got Ryan boxed!
The Sekhman's face contorted with greed, and he took off at a frantic run. Kissel checked the load in his blaster and worked the slide to chamber around, then eased back the hammer into the firing position.
Frag Anders and the bike he rode in on. I'll make captain of the guards by midnight. And then, it's payback time.
Deep within the Stygian shadows of a filthy alleyway in the marketplace of detail, David wrapped the eye patch around Clifford's head, while Kathy artfully arranged his wig of long black curly hair. It was the flank skin of a sheep, but from a distance nobody should be able to tell. Charcoal lines made Clifford's face appear older and heavily scarred. Dressed in repaired clothes from the guard's laundry, the skinny man held a rifle of ancient manufacture that was so badly rusted most of the internal parts no longer existed. It was beyond unrepairable, but still looked deadly potent. But the S&W 38 revolver in his belt was fully functional, even if it only held 3 live rounds.
Done.
Kathy knotted the black string used to hold the wig in place.
Ready?
Breathing deeply to charge his lungs with oxygen, Clifford nodded yes, then paused.
If anything happens, tell Troy I love him.
In the darkness, David gripped his shoulder.
Of course, my friend. But you'll be fine, as long as you keep moving and stay on the route we mapped for you.
All over the city, alarm bells sounded, causing enough noise to wake the dead.
Hurry! One of the Ryans has already been found. You must go now!
Death to the heirs!
With that, Clifford took off into the street. Instantly, a hue and cry formed in his wake. Guards charged out of doorways with blasters in hand, but hesitated to fire. To kill Ryan meant their own deaths from the hated and despised Eugene. Shoving slaves out of their way, the Sekhman desperately tried to follow the darting man, his telltale eye patch identifying the outlander to them in a single glance. A wild chase began. High atop the parapets of the citadel, a lone guard standing near the alarm bell shivered from the cold in spite of the thick bearskin coat he was wearing. Retrieving a hand-rolled cigarette from a pocket, He placed it in his mouth and lit the tip from a match, cupping both hands around the tiny flame as protection from the wind. On the ground, they might only be getting a mild breeze, but way up there, with nothing to act as a buffer, he was washed in a steady stream from the mountains. The cigarette finally caught, and the guard inhaled the smoke with true satisfaction. He smiled in contentment, then frowned, and started to wave his arms and legs about. He tried to grab for his blaster, but it was buried deep under multiple layers of fur and leather, impossible to reach with any speed. The precious cig dropped from his gasping mouth as he continued to dance above the floor. After a few minutes, his struggles lessened and finally stopped as he went limp, but didn't fall. Grunting from the effort, Ryan finished tying off the wire garrote around the man's neck, the strands buried deep in the mottled skin. The corpse stayed where it was, firmly attached to the flagpole. Ryan whistled twice. Moving out from behind the chimney flue, the rest of the companions got to work. With a soft clatter, J.B. removed the cover from an air vent and stepped aside. Stripping off his vest and weapons, Dean gave them to Christy and wiggled into the opening. The boy just barely managed to crawl inside the cramped aluminum duct. When he was safely inside, J.B. secured the cover back on, and the rest departed for the ground. In the ville below them, alarm bells were ringing, the soft crackle of small arms fire sounding steadily, and an irregular splotch of light seemed to be a barn engulfed in flames. In the audience room of the Citadel, both the massive fireplaces loudly crackled with huge fires, slaves wearing only loincloths constantly adding small logs to maintain the conflagration. Tables laden with different types of food were arrayed before the dais, and the air supped off golden plates held by silent slaves. Taking one bite from a succulent beef rib, Richard tossed the morsel aside and laughed as the dogs fought over it. Amanda was chewing her way through a pile of chicken legs, her lovely face scrunched into a thoughtful scowl.
Have we done everything we can?
She swallowed a tiny mouthful. Richard belched and wiped his mouth on a silk sleeve.
Yes, of course we have. Now shut up. The slaves will bring us Ryan within the hour.
And if they don't?
Then we start killing them.
He took another rib. One bite, and it went to the dogs. Their stomachs grumbling with hunger, the slaves in the room struggled to keep themselves from diving to the floor and fighting the pit bulls for the food scraps. They would be allowed to eat after the airs were done, even if it was only bread and bloody juices mopped from the dirty plates. At the other end of the room, the iron-banded door slammed open, and in rushed Captain of the Guard, Ian McGregory. The bald man came scurrying toward them at a full run, his robes of state billowing around his legs. He jerked to a halt before the dais and bowed almost as an afterthought, flushed with the exertion of running.
My lord and lady, I bring bad news. There have been reports of Ryan being captured.
Sucking loudly, Richard freed a piece of meat from between his teeth.
That's good news, you ass. Are you so feeble a short run has scrambled your brain?
Or did you mean to say he is dead?
McGregory bowed apologetically.
The reports say alive. However, I have received reports of him in the east, north, and southern sections of Novaville, all at the exact same time.
What? Impossible! Has this information been confirmed?
I double-checked before reporting. It's true. A one-eyed man with black hair and blasters has been seen.
Richard wiped a hand clean on his shirt.
It's a feint to lure us away from the south wall.
Or more likely, the fuel storage dump.
He's going to ignite our stock of gasoline to cover their escape.
Or as a prelude to their attack.
Richard stood and buckled on his blaster belt.
Where is Anders?
McGregory smiled uncertainly.
Unknown, my lord.
Then this is your responsibility, Captain. Find Anders or Kissel. Have them split our forces. Send half here to protect us, split the other half again, and send in one group to defend the fuel storage, and hold back the rest as reserves, in case it explodes.
Amanda nodded at the wisdom of the arrangement. Her brother was a fool in most matters, but survival wasn't one of them.
However, don't remove the guards on the tank, and elevate the order on Ryan and his people to kill.
My lady? But I thought...
Do it. They should go to Eugene, but this isn't the time. Shoot on sight. Bring us their bodies.
Yes, my lord.
The bald man bowed and started to leave.
One moment, Captain.
Frozen in place,